have a theme this year, just for the beginning, is to be imitators of God. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 for a few weeks, not just myself, but others. And what does that mean? And my topic this morning is, under this, being an imitator of God, is to live a life of love. And I know I was given this subject because I'm such an example of it, and it's so easy and it just flows from my heart. The Lord knew I needed to be tested on this one. So my message this morning is living a life of love, imitating God through a life of love, of serving and commitment to Him first, but to His body and to His people. So if you want to turn your Bibles just to have a place to begin, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And then he goes on in these next verses, and he's pretty serious, and he says, don't do this, and don't allow this, and immorality, and sexual immorality, and all these things. And we'll see where we go with it in this chapter. But be an imitator of God. What does that look like? Well, the definition, if you look in a dictionary, it's very simple. It's follow, or to endeavor to follow as a model or an example, to mimic, to impersonate, to make a copy of, reproduce closely, to have or assume the appearance of, simulate, resemble. So when we imitate God, there should be something about our lives that resemble God. There should be something of our lives that mimic God and who He is and what He's like. And he helps to clarify it a bit, and he says, as dear children. So he's helping us to understand this imitating of God. What is it like? We are part of a family. We are children of God. We are His children. If you think of children and how they mimic and how they look like their parents and their grandparents, it's not hard to get a picture of what that means, to actually have your father's eyes, to have your mother's voice, to act like, sometimes we don't like how they act like us, but they become very much like this. If I just name a couple of examples in this church, little Helene, you just see Yolani. Yolani can say whatever she wants, but there's a little Helene, a little Ben. I see Brad every day. I'm going to need to give him some lickings. You can run, but you can't hide. Our children imitate us. They mimic us. They become like us. They are the perfect example. And that's why Paul says, be imitators of God as dear children. As children would. As dear children would. They become like us. They do what we do. We have our Father's good and our Father's not so good. Jesus puts it this way when he's preaching, and I don't want to go to that text and preach it, but Jesus says in John 8, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In some translations, it says, you're speaking his native tongue, his native language, when you lie, because you are of your father. You know that text. And what he's saying is that on the negative side is we become like that father, or we become like our heavenly father. So as dear children, dear children, become like your father is what he's saying. I want to have my father's eyes. I want to have my father's language. I want to have, like, can I just ask you as I start this morning, do you look like Jesus? Do you talk like Jesus? Do I? I say it with sorrow in my heart. How many times my native language is not Jesus' language. It's not an attitude that God wants. And I've talked about going to counseling this last year. I've talked about, I'm almost 60. And it's like, good Lord, when do you learn this stuff? Some of you guys got 45 years to go yet just to get as good as me. No, it's like, man, it's like, God, help me to become more like you. It never ends. Our whole life, imitating, mimicking, submitting, saying, God, shape me. God, mold me. God, help me to become the father, the husband, the man of God, the child of God that you want me to be. Amen? So may God help us to become imitators as dear children of God. In Philippians chapter 3, you can turn there if you want. Paul writing, and I've preached this message to, I don't know what I've preached anymore and where I've preached, but Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, all of us who are mature, he's in verse 13, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example. And take note of those who live according to the pattern. It's like, he just says it over and over and over again. Find an example. Live up to what you've already attained. Follow a pattern. Are you getting it? Are you getting something of it? That there's a life that's expected of a Christian. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe I don't think of it oftentimes, but the world definitely is watching. God is watching our lives. Paul challenges us. He commands us to find examples. Find godly men and women examples in this house. In the world, I trust you have some mentors. I have some spiritual mothers and fathers, people who you go after. That's what we believe life groups are about, connecting and sharing and fellowshipping and discipling one another. We're in this thing together. And Paul says, find some examples. Live up to what you've already believed, man. Come on, man. Some of you have been on the way for 40 years. Live up to this stuff. And then he says, live according to the pattern that I've shown you. And many, many, I could preach this stuff all morning. Paul says it many, many times. Follow me as I follow Christ. It's not about, yes, yes, come on guys, follow Christ. He's saying, follow me. Line up behind me. Follow me as I follow Jesus. My life, your life, has to be part of that pattern, part of that example. My question this morning is, are we imitators of God? Are we living something of what God is like? And my message this morning is to live a life of love. There's many angles we could look at it. But living a life of love, and he says it in Ephesians that I've already read. He said, live a life of love. So that's what we're going to talk about and what it looks like a little bit. You know, a Christian life should be recognizable by our resemblance to God, our resemblance to Christ. There should be something in the way we speak, something in the way we talk, something in the way we live our lives that brings people to a desire, to a thinking, to a questioning about God and about who He is and what's the difference in your life. I watch you go through difficult times. I've watched you as a widow lose your husband, but not your joy. Live your life. Serve God. I've watched you go through difficult circumstances. I've watched you deal with unable to have children. I've watched you deal with hard things in your life, and yet there's a sweet sorrow about you. There's a sweetness in your life. People look for that. People ask, what makes your life different? And I believe as the days grow on and go darker and things are going on, more and more people will be looking to people who have hope, people who have life, people who have some answers. And we as Christians are supposed to be living something of that out, that pattern, that example, that life of God in our homes and in our own personal lives. Our attitudes, our mindsets, our worldviews, what are they like? Are we maturing? Paul says mature Christians should have these attitudes. What I often have said and saying again this morning is a mature Christian, someone who follows Jesus, and you can be a mature Christian quickly. It doesn't take 100 years. I've met many, many mature, young, new believers, mature quickly, is someone who Jesus can reach into their life anytime He wants. Anytime He desires, He can request something of their life. Serve me, give, do, go, whatever it is. And there's a willingness in your heart to bless others, to be inconvenienced by circumstance, to be inconvenienced by the needs of others, to be inconvenienced by the gospel message, taking it to the world, that God can just reach into your life whenever He wants. And we're not living this life for ourselves, but we're living it for Him. We are saying, God, whatever You want for our life, that's what I am willing to live like. Can we say like Paul, be imitators of me? So the main area is walking in love. What does it mean to be an imitator of God and a life of love? It means to follow. To imitate is to follow. So we follow God's example. And he says this, because of Christ's love, if you think of the love of Christ this morning, what it means to you. 1 John 4 says, we love him because he first loved us. Romans 5, but God showed his love for us and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John, he says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. So we love because Christ's love. Don't try to love without first experiencing something of Christ's love. See, we can put rules on each other and we can put heavy stuff on each other. This is how you're supposed to live this Christian life. And you could get caught up in the pattern and the example that I just mentioned, which is biblical. There is a Christian life. There is an example to live. And you can get caught up in that and trying to work hard at it and sweating and difficulty. Or you can first of all say, God, come and fill me with your love. Because you first loved me, I can love others. There is no hope for me without God's love first coming and filling my heart by the power of his Holy Spirit, changing something in this person. There's no way that I'm going to be able to love how God wants me to love. But if his love comes and fills us, and that's what the Bible talks about, is his by his Spirit is poured into us. It's like extravagantly. He's lavished his love on us. He's not just selfish. He's not greedy. He pours it on us. He dumps it beyond what we can contain. And then from that place, we have something to give. From that place, we can love the unlovable. We can love our enemies. We can love our husbands. And we can love our wives. And we can love one another. And we can love God's people because of what he's done for us. And we are to love as Christ loved us, not only because he loved us, but as he loved us. And how did Christ love us? Well, if there's a bunch of sermons ready to be preached right there. How did Christ love you? Because you're so good? Because you are so worthy, because you did everything right, because you look good, because you smell good, why did Christ love you? Because of his grace, because of his goodness. So not only did he love us, but it's how he loved us. And that's how he challenges, Paul writes, and he says, as Christ loved you, as Christ loved us, that's how we are to love one another. Is there things we don't like? Is there sin in the world that the Bible's completely against? Of course. But does that mean we hate people? Of course not. Is divorce good? No. But do we hate divorcees? No. We love them. Is homosexuality good? No. In the Bible, it's sin. But do we hate homosexuals? No. They're people. They need God. They need one another. I've had tons of experience of helping guys in South. It was more in South Africa than here. Here people don't come to discuss it very much. Talking about what do I do with this life of mine. And I love telling people, you know what? You're not the worst sinner in the world. You're not if we could find the worst guy in this whole church, the worst woman in this whole church, whatever it is, if we could nail you this morning, if we could draw you out and just go through seat by seat and put it on the screen and get who's the worst in this place. I'm telling you, the love of God reaches to you and through you and in you and past you to generations. Because of his power and because of his grace and because of his good love. And that's how he tells us to love one another. Where the church messes up is we fail. We are weak. And the world, you know, I've quoted this so many times, forgive me, I just feel like I'm going around and around. But the reason the world hates the church is the church hates the world. And it's like, God, help us. We got to change that. That's the attitude. Oh, that's the church. They're just judging. They just hate everybody. We don't hate anyone. There's stuff that you got to deal with in your life and I'm not going to agree with. And you don't have to agree with everything about me. That doesn't mean we hate each other. We can talk and we can pray and we can come. And I'm saying to anyone and everyone, come and be touched by the love of God. And then live in some of that and share that with others and encourage others. And that's not a compromise with sin. It has nothing to do with that. It's a living out what's from the inside out. It's not a bunch of rules and it's not about putting law on one another. He says Ephesians 4:32. Sorry, I might as well give you the scriptures. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Are you tender-hearted? Russell is. Are you tender-hearted? I get very tender-hearted around my grandkids. And I said it a couple of weeks ago, I'm at my best with them. That's the guy I want to be. Tender-hearted. Got time for people. Kind. good. Just plain good. Jesus gave himself for us. We are to give ourselves cheerfully. Do you give cheerfully your time, your talents, your treasures, your who you are? Are you generous? Are you generous with people? Are you generous with your life? Are you generous with who you are? Or is it the other way? Are you speaking the native language of your father, the devil? I don't want that. I want to speak the native language. I want to speak the life and live the life of my Father in heaven. He showed us the Father's heart, and I could go on and on. I like 1 John. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner he walked. Sorry for the King James. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. I've read that. Colossians 3:13. Bearing one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should forgive one another. Now here, let me end this. I promise I'd be short. It's only 20... It's actually 18 minutes, you smiley guy on the front. Are you still with me? See, here's the problem. Here's the deal. Let me get to the goods. I need a little liquid for this. We come to the end. I don't think any one of you has a problem with the concept of imitating, following hard, living a life of love to understand it. The trouble we have is to do it. The battle we have is the willingness to change, the willingness to walk into it, the willingness to step up and say, God, help me. I learned a lesson on New Year's Eve. We were with some friends, and some were older. I like saying that because they were older than me. And you know what was interesting? We had a great time and thanking God, and we prayed together into the new year. But what I found interesting is sitting with successful couples who serve God, done well in their lives, love each other, faithful to their churches. What was on their heart as that year ended, we started a new year, is their grandkids, is their families, is their relationships with each other. You know, I went away rejoicing because I'm in the same place. It's like, what matters is relationships. It's people. The people in our lives. You know, the friends who were there were from different walks of life and different churches and different settings and different places in their lives, health-wise and everything else. And it's so amazing to find out that we all are actually more concerned just about relationships. And our grandkids and our children and family and how that those dynamics work out and what we can do to help and what's blessed and what's got fruit and living something of that out in our lives. And so as I look at young families and look at young mothers with new babies and talk to you, and some of you as teenagers, you're not even married yet and looking forward to those days. I'm telling you, what matters is our relationship with one another. What matters is walking in some kind of life of love. Am I walking in love this morning? Am I walking in something of a heart and a passion for other people? Am I seeing people? And this is what I wanted to close with, this Zulu greeting. And we got too many South Africans here for me to even try to say it. See a bone, guys. Whatever. You read it yourself. If it was Swahili, ningelisema vizuri kwa Kiswahili, but Zulu, sijui, sijui. But the point of it is, when you say that, Sawubona. Say it, you South African. Sawubona. I got it right. You see. I see you. And the response, that's the one. Nikon. Sawubona. Nikon. He says, I see you. And he says, I'm here. I love, you know, a lot of greetings in East Africa were the same. They have way more meaning. It's hard to translate. Like, you can't just translate five words. You gotta look at a whole culture that's behind and what the meaning is. But it's simply this, is that the last line there, Umuntu, ngumuntu, ngabantu. That's more like Kiswahili. Bantu bangi, ndio watu wengi, ndio mana ya watu. Many, many people. The people. The people. You call everybody's the people. We are the people. It's almost like the First Nations people of Canada, the way they talk about the people. It's people. We are people. And he's saying, a person is a person because of one another. You know, I exist. I didn't exist because you recognized me. I exist. Amen? Because you and I connect with one another, we're alive. We have a purpose. We have a plan. We are part of God's family. We're part of what God's doing in the world. Church is not about some meetings. And I'm going to end with this, and I promise I end. If you're hearing the word church and you're thinking Sunday, you've missed it. Thank God for Sundays. I love Sundays. I love when we come and we pray together. Musicians, come up, please. And I'm done. What matters to people? What is the world looking for? What do you really care about, really? You get down to it. You get ill, or you lose your health, or you get old, what are the things that matter? I'm telling you, I'm not gonna go one day in heaven and say, man, I'm sure glad I spent more time, you know, worrying. I'm sure glad I spent more time at the office, whatever. Whatever it is you're part of. But I will tell you something. I'm very glad for every moment I spent with people. I'm very glad for every time I prayed with my kids. I'm very glad every time I got something right when it came to ministering or to talking to someone or to sharing the good news or to living something of a life of God's love to people. I'm so thankful. I know in heaven I'm going to rejoice one day when I hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Those are the words we want to hear. Well done. Doesn't mean you were totally successful. You were faithful. You are walking something of this gospel life out. So we start this new year. We talk about imitating God. Will you, with me, commit to walking in a life that reflects something of His love to people? Something of ministry, something of grace, something of seeing one another. And you know, I've said that many, many times. Just to see people. Why do you think we used to do the warm blanket thing? Why do you think we hand out some baskets, you know, we do our hamper thing at Christmas. It's good for us to give. It's good. But I'm telling you, when you take a hamper to somebody and you look them in the face that's not part of the church or not part of your usual circumstance and you say, I see you. I see you. And I'm telling you something, the good news is God saw me and God saw you. And because of that, we can say, I see you. I see you, Debbie and Donna. I see you. I see what your lives meant to me in Swan Hills 40 years ago. I see you, Carrie Brown and Corey and Amber. I see you, Carl. I see you, Micah, sitting there. I see you. I see you, Jack. I see you, Kevin. I see you. Les, I see you. I see you, Jordy. God, help us to walk in something of that. Have His love for us. Let's stand and close the service. Thank you.